Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Saturday, January 31st. Happy Saturday. Hope you're having a wonderful day, enjoying the Lord's goodness. Today we're reading Genesis 15. At first you might think, now why are we doing that? But think with me for a moment what Genesis 15 is about. It's about Abraham. And Romans 5 has reminded us that Abraham, through faith, was declared righteous. He was declared at peace with God. So we're going to go back to Genesis 15 and talk about how this came about, how God declared Abraham to be righteous. And this is an interesting story. There's like this covenant ceremony. And in the ancient world, when they had a covenant ceremony, both parties would walk between the two pieces of an animal that they would cut in half. And this would, in essence, be saying, if I break this covenant, this will be what happens to me. I'll be like this animal that's cut in half. But as we read Genesis 15, you're going to see that Abraham doesn't walk through the animals. It is God alone who passes through the fire. And this is a foreshadowing of the covenant that God makes with us through Jesus Christ. The Lord Himself goes to the cross. We do not have to bear the ultimate punishment for our sins. And He holds up His end of the bargain, even when we are not faithful to the covenant. All right, let's get right in and see how we can make these connections with Romans 5. Genesis 15 and the Message. After all these things, this word of God came to Abram in a vision. Don't be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield. Your reward will be grand. Abram said, God, Master, what use are your gifts as long as I am childless? And Eliezer of Damascus is going to inherit everything. Abram continued, See, you've given me no children, and now a mere house servant is going to get it all. Then God's message came. Don't worry. He won't be your heir. A son from your body will be your heir. Then He took him outside and said, Look at the sky. Count the stars. Can you do it? Count your descendants. You're going to have a big family, Abram. And he believed God. God declared him set right with God. God continued, I'm the same God who brought you from Ur of the Chaldees and gave you this land to own. Abram said, Master God, how am I to know this, that it will be all mine? God said, Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, and a dove and a young pigeon. He brought all these animals to him, split them down the middle, and laid the halves opposite each other. But he didn't split the birds. Vultures swooped down on the carcasses, but Abram scared them off. As the sun went down, a deep sleep overcame Abram, and then a sense of dread, dark and heavy. God said to Abram, Know this, your descendants will live as outsiders in a land not theirs. They'll be enslaved and beaten down for 400 years. Then I'll punish their slave masters. Your offspring will march out of there, loaded with plunder. But not you. You'll have a long and full life and die a good and peaceful death. Not until the fourth generation will your descendants return here. Sin is still a thriving business among the Amorites. When the sun was down and it was dark, a smoking firepot and a flaming torch moved between the split carcasses. That's when God made a covenant with Abram. I'm giving this land to your children, from the Nile River in Egypt to the river Euphrates in Assyria, the country of the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaim, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. Our second passage today is Psalm 21. To set up the passage, I'd like to read some commentary from Douglas Webster concerning this psalm. The answers sought in Psalm 20 are gratefully received in Psalm 21. The two psalms are paired as petition and answer. In the light of Christ, Christians today echo the voice of the congregation and transpose the psalm of thanksgiving into a messianic psalm of praise. The psalm is not only about David and his victories, but about Jesus and his victory over sin and death. According to Matthew Henry, the British nonconformist Presbyterian, there is more here about the Messiah than about David. So as we're reading this psalm, think about how this psalm points to Jesus. And then this is what he says at the end of his reflection. The great object which the psalmist has in view is doubtless to teach us to exercise patience until God, at the fit time, brings the ungodly to their end. The final verse of Psalm 21 brings us full circle back to the strength of the Lord and singing songs of praise. Psalm 20 and 21 end on the same note of victory. The expectation and anticipation felt in Psalm 20, Lord, give victory to the king, answer us when we call, has been answered boldly in Psalm 21. Be exalted in your strength, Lord. We will sing and praise your might. You know, the Psalms are called Jesus's songbook, his prayer book. And so as we read, regardless of where you find yourself today, whether you're seeking an answer or you've found an answer in the Lord and you're praising him, let us remember that ultimately these psalms find their fulfillment in Jesus, the one who reigns. Your strength, God, is the king's strength. Helped, he's hollering hosannas. You gave him exactly what he wanted. You didn't hold back. You filled his arms with gifts. You gave him a right royal welcome. He wanted a good life. You gave it to him, and then you made it a long life as a bonus. You lifted him high and bright as the cumulus cloud, then dressed him in rainbow colors. You pile blessings on him. You make him glad when you smile. Is it any wonder the king loves God, that he's sticking with the best? With a fistful of enemies in one hand and a fistful of haters in the other, you radiate with such brilliance that they cringe as before a furnace. Now the furnace swallows them whole. The fire eats them alive. You purge the earth of their progeny. You wipe the slate clean. All their evil schemes, the plots they cook up, have fizzled. Every one. You sent them packing. They couldn't face you. Show your strength, God, so no one can miss it. We are out singing the good news. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. I want to pray a prayer over you to end the podcast from Colossians 1, that the Lord would fill us with the knowledge of his will. Will you pray with me? God, please fill us with the knowledge of what you want. Give us wisdom and understanding by your Spirit, that we might lead lives worthy of you, Lord, and bear much fruit. Help us to know you better, to be patient, and to never give up, because we know that you win the battle, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.